This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Got a big show for Friday. It's a big one. Consider this. Where shall we live? As animals, we need shelter about as much as we need food and water. But in Wenatchee, proper shelter? Pretty hard to come by. If you're thinking about making a move, you better know somebody in the shelter business or sleep in a box, like many are doing this evening on South Wenatchee Avenue. You want to live in a yurt? You'll have to wait. Man cave with black wall and the sub-rumpus room annex? Yeah, you'll have to wait. Riverview Bachelor Subsistence four-way quadplex with, you'll have to wait. In fact, the bachelors are going to have to start dying off before you get one of those. How about Sunnyside, 7,000 square feet, all Pyrex Superview with a rotating drawing room? Yeah, we had one this morning, but now you're going to have to wait. You could buy a flip house with no foundation or wiring online with Sean Hannity's help. Oop, wait, no, we're fresh out. You'll have to be patient. It's the market. It's the valley. It's the climate. It's the best. It's impossible. It's temporary. It's always been this way. There's never been enough housing. There's never been a place to live. It's amazing there's a city here under these medieval conditions. How about a two-bedroom house for rent for a family of three in a safe neighborhood with good schools and a little backyard and room for a black lab and a 70-pound Maine coon cat? No. Sorry, but that's not the way we're doing things in Wenatchee. We're all about quality of life and our children returning to the valley. So, again, where shall we live? Steve Maher, our Valley, Our Future, has the report on housing solutions and recommendations for the future of the Wenatchee Valley. The report is finally out today, delivered by the housing group organized by Our Valley and Our Future. And we're fortunate to have Steve here today. I guess it all started in 2016, didn't it, Steve, when you put together that housing approach game changer idea?
Yes, it did, Michael. And actually it kind of predates that a little bit because back in 2015 and 16, we did tons of community outreach work here. Had about 5,000 residents respond to our various surveys and presentations. And one of the questions we asked back then was, what is the region's greatest weakness? And housing availability was number two back then. And so even then, residents were raising the alarm about rising housing prices as well as the lack of, just simply the lack of available homes.
This report probably won't have too many surprises in it, but it has some. And you can read it online at Our Valley, Our Future, I assume.
Yes, you can. You can download it there. It just went up there this morning. It's 60 pages. There's graphs, maps. There's a lot in this in addition to the recommendations that we have.
It's a 60-page idea of probability and possibility that we could solve our own problem, but it's not going to be easy, is it?
No. Housing is very complex. It's very, very complex, and we're not the only community in this country dealing with this right now. There's scores of other communities. We do have some really unique challenges here that are different than other places.
Like the land is not available.
Yeah, I mean, and for a couple of reasons. One is the topography here. If you look, particularly in the greater Wenatchee area, you look out, we live in a geographic bowl with steep hillsides virtually in every direction, and you can't build on those hillsides, generally speaking. I mean, there's some exceptions. The other thing, particularly in Chelan County, is the amount of land that's publicly owned. I think in Chelan County it's about 82% of the entire land mass in the county is owned by various government agencies. And so there's a land ownership problem there. We've also got some other factors that make our housing situation different. We have a relatively low wage structure here. So as housing prices continue to skyrocket, wages are not even coming close to keeping up with that increase. And so you've got folks here, including folks who have lived here for a long time, increasingly having a hard time to afford housing, rent, et cetera.
And that sort of takes you back to that survey that you initially put in the public. The number one reason for not living here was the number of high-paying jobs.
Exactly. Another factor is our close proximity to the Puget Sound region. It's always been there. However, as that area has grown, particularly to the east, where you've got North Bend, Woodinville, Gold Bar, all those communities are, becoming more and more populated that we used to be. I remember when I first moved here 25 years ago, people would say, well, Seattle is 2 hours and 45 minutes away.
Not anymore.
By car. Not anymore. It's now about 2 hours. And given all the growth, and I would say deteriorating quality of life over there, we're increasingly seeing an influx from that area. And so we've got people constantly moving here. And it isn't just the Puget Sound area. I think we've been discovered. And so over the last few months, I've met people who've moved from Minnesota, Texas, Florida, California, Colorado, Montana. There's a lot of people who've discovered Wenatchee. And so we've got more people moving here.
This report that we're both talking about called Where Will We Live is the work of a lot of people with a lot of hours. We should give them credit.
Yeah, big time credit. The process that Our Valley, Our Future used, again, this was one of the 7 game changer projects in our action plan that was released in November of 2016. In July, August of 2017, we conducted a housing survey, and that was sort of the first information gathering process we used. We had 1,700 folks complete a 35-question survey, and it was from all over the region. I think that 15% of the respondents were from Leavenworth, 27% from East Wenatchee, Rock Island. We had people from Chelan, Aniette, Malaga, Waterville all complete that survey. And so that provided tons of information. In fact, when you look at our report, the report that just came out today, you'll see we broke out snippets from that survey throughout the report to kind of provide context for some of the recommendations. And then after that housing survey, we had a community summit at PIBUS where we gathered additional information in September of 2017. And then in November of 2017, we appointed the Housing Solutions Group. They worked for the better part of the last year or so completing this report. There's 40 people on this Housing Solutions Group, a true cross-section of the housing industry and the overall region. We have developers, realtors, bankers, low-income housing experts, architects, everybody you would think that would be on builders, who you would think be on be part of the housing industry. And we also had folks from Leavenworth, Kashmir, Malaga, Chelan, Rock Island, Entiat, including in some cases elected officials, participate in this housing solutions group. So it was a great group. I facilitated 31 meetings over a year's over the last 11, 12 months, and I ended up, I kept track of who was showing up at the meetings and how many hours the meetings were going on for, and I've calculated somewhere between 900 and 1,000 hours went into, in terms of brain power, went into this report.
You did a lot of work on every conceivable element of the market, but you concentrated on one particular housing size or description.
Yeah, we went for, when the Housing Solutions Group got together, we basically handed to them, this whole housing issue, all these housing challenges. And it's, again, it's so complex and so big that to their credit, they decided to take, I guess you could call it a common sense approach.
That would be refreshing.
They decided to focus on middle market housing. And the reason being, A, there's a big need here for that. When we did our survey, we found folks like nurses and teachers and those who have manufacturing jobs having a hard time finding housing. And so, and middle market housing is perfect for that segment of the community. And so we wanted to focus on middle market housing because there's a big need here for it. But also, if we can add more middle market housing in our region, we can open up more land or more housing for low income folks. Because what's been going on over the last 5 or 6, 7 years has been, there's been this, extensive down renting and down buying occurring because there's not enough housing here. And for a lot of folks, it's not, just not available. Folks who are looking for housing are picking up, grabbing whatever they can get. And in many cases, they're taking, something that they, can easily afford. They could easily afford something, more, but just because there's not, not the choices here, they're just grabbing whatever they can. And in doing so, they've been slowly squeezing out low income folks from housing. So, we could add more middle market housing. We're pretty confident it'll free up more housing for low income folks.
You did a study of everything, single apartment of buildings, building condominiums, building bungalows and on courts, which is, the LA is full of, by the way. They were all built right after the war. They're all over the place. They're really, the people want to live there because they're historical and they're kind of cute and, living on a courtroom within a court, living on a court in a number of bungalows is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, you didn't just talk about apartments or big houses or a number of things. You looked at the entire market and the entire availability and some new ideas that are also rather fresh.
Yeah,
but for each and every element of that society, of that building society, there was a thing called a barrier. It wasn't one way straightforward. So how do we go forward?
Well, we've got 18 recommendations in this report. We truly view this as a big step, but just the first step. You know, we don't, because the issue is very complex and it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of change to free up more housing here, we recognize that this is not a end-all, you know, that we're...
It's not a turnkey solution.
No, it isn't. And but by focusing, again, on middle-market housing, we feel like we can make some inroads and improve things here.
And how can we do that? How can we look at an example?
You know, one of the recommendations is calling for more... what we call diverse housing types here. Wenatchee is different and maybe in some ways not different than other communities in the sense that we've got basically two types of housing here. We've got the traditional single-family home, and we've got the traditional, you know, smaller multifamily apartment complex. We don't have a lot of these other housing types that, frankly, make up the middle-market housing world today, and these are things like townhomes, fourplexes, cottage housing, ADUs, courtyard-style housing. And these things are, the way they build them today, design them, they really blend really well into existing neighborhoods. And so one of the things we did in this report is we hired a local architect, to basically create some artist renderings of these type of homes so people visually can see what these things look like. And again, these are the kind of homes that fit our middle market here really, really well.
And so, that's where one lot can service maybe as many as 10 dwelling areas.
Yeah, you know,
or more.
I think the reason the way you do this is in some cases you've got to create some creative subdivisions and lot configurations. But particularly in the city of Wenatchee, where the city of Wenatchee is basically running out of land for single family homes. You know, the traditional single-family home, just because they just don't have the land anymore, and so they're a good candidate for that. But just in general, you know, we need more diverse housing types here if we're going to accommodate our growth and also keep prices down so that this does not become a community for just one segment of society.
What about the idea of building up? You say that's probably what are some of the last chances in Chelan. I'm sorry, in Wenatchee, within the county of Chelan, are to be probably more high rise.
Yeah, and in fact, in the report, we did we took a look at what Wenatchee, East Wenatchee areas will probably look like in 25 years, and we did some bird's eye views. And when you look through the report, you'll see a bunch of areas in Wenatchee, particularly the urban core and the waterfront area. We're projecting buildings of 3 to 9 stories to accommodate future residential growth. And there's just no other way around it for the city of Wenatchee. And they recognize that and are taking steps to accommodate that. 25 years out, we also think the East Wenatchee area, out to Rock Island, Malaga, Entiat, and some of the other communities like Kashmir, Shasta and Dryden, perhaps Arondo, can accommodate more of what I mentioned earlier, kind of traditional single-family homes as well as some multifamily.
Because if nothing else, they have the land.
They have the land. I mean, if you look at the east side, the Douglas County side is probably where most of the housing is going to go over the next 25 years. You can see what's going on at Grant Road right now between the existing city of East Wenatchee city limits and the airport. There's a lot of housing taking place in there, and there's also a lot more land available out there. The same thing to the north of the city of East Wenatchee toward the Yodabashian Bridge. One of the really bright spots in the community, there's actually three communities that really are primed for more housing, and that's Entiat. Entiat has, I believe it's more than 600 acres within their city limits that are totally serviced by infrastructure and utilities right now, essentially shovel ready.
Wow. Entiat, what's preventing that from growing?
I just think it's a matter of kind of getting up to what we're up against now and people realizing that, you know, we do need to go to some of these outlying communities if we're going to accommodate our population. Entiat is only about 12 or 15 miles from Wenatchee, so it's ideally positioned to add more housing. Rock Island is another example. Rock Island, I think the last statistic I saw was they have around 300 acres within the city limits available for housing. housing development. Malaga is another potential possibility. In fact, some people believe that the city of Wenatchee may not ultimately extend its city limits to the south, but certainly there will be growth toward the south, toward Malaga. Anyway, but if you look at one of the things you'll see in the report, too, is these visuals from high up, kind of almost like satellite views, or at least from the air, and you'll see that in the greater Wenatchee area, we are totally in a geographic bowl. And when you look at it from above like that, you can see there is not that much land left, you know, for housing.
So land is going to become more dear. You talked about the riverfront property building 3 to 9 stories. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more like 20 stories. Am I out of my mind, or is the city of Wenatchee currently have ordinances to prevent that?
You know, actually, I don't know that. I know I think the tallest building is either the Coast Hotel or the old Cascadian Hotel.
I hope it's the Cascadian. I want it to be the tallest.
I remember when I was at the Wenatchee World, we did a story on that, and I can't remember which one was deemed higher, but I think they're pretty close. But one of them is considered still the highest building in the area. But you're already seeing, like, on the riverfront with the Hilton Hotel, I think that's about 4 or 5 stories. The city of Wenatchee is looking at adding a residential building of, I think, about 4 or 5 stories. They're working with a developer in the downtown core. And so you can see it's already starting to happen. We're definitely going to see this.
I'm interested in the growth that you're picturing for places like Malaga and Entiat. It seems like that they... Well, what is their mindset? Do they want that growth? Do they want their cities to change so thoroughly and be a bedroom community for Wenatchee?
The city of Rock Island definitely does, because they've been annexing land and accommodating housing development down there. And the mayor there, Randy Agnew, is very much pro housing development. And just if, you know, just from, again, common sense, and if you look at our current land use and where residential homes are now, again, from that kind of bird's eye view, it's going to go there. There's nowhere else for it to go.
That's the voice of Steve Maher. We're going over his report entitled, aptly, Where Will We Live? And it's the recommendations and solutions for the future of the Wenatchee Valley, as put together by Our Valley, Our Future. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And 911 for your heating or cooling needs. Arctic Refrigeration and Heating, the temperature experts. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:37 in News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Steve Maher from Our Valley, Our Future. We're going over the report that just came out today, Where Will We Live? The Future of Housing and Your Choices Therein for the Wenatchee Valley. Steve, let's start. By the way, thanks for being here today.
Welcome.
Let's start with the presentations that you're going to be making to the city and state governments, because other cities and others and the other part of our state, the Olympia part, I assume, want to know what's going on.
Yes. You know, we started off yesterday. We had a meeting of elected officials and kind of key planning staff from the two counties. We had City of Wenatchee, City of Easton Wenatchee mayors were there, the Entiat mayor, Rock Island mayor, City of Chelan sent a delegation. And that meeting went pretty well. We were basically debriefing them on this report, again, how it came about, what some of the key recommendations were. Our next step in December and January, we're going to be going to, again, the two cities, some of the outlying cities, planning commissions, port, PUDs, and talking to them about this report. There's plans for we did this about a year ago, another joint meeting of the two cities, Wenatchee and East Wenatchee, and their planning commissions. That'll probably happen in January. And going through this, again, you know, all these recommendations are just recommendations. We're not telling any agency or organization that they must do these things. But, you know, these are coming from these. All these recommendations came from residents here originally, and so there
is that. One thing they should know, especially because you've used this phrase yourself, there are tough decisions right before them.
Yes, when you go through the recommendations, you'll see that there are some really tough decisions that await folks here. You know, everything from adding additional infrastructure to some marketing campaigns related to trades jobs. To you know, one of the recommendations is for the entities here to consider regional land use planning. That typically is a very controversial issue, but the Housing Solution Group feels at this point that that's what we need to do given the lack of available land in our community. And so there's a lot of tough decisions. However, they, you know, the policymakers in particular should be, I guess, comforted by the fact that there are thousands and thousands of people who are behind them and have voiced their opinions about this housing issue through the Our Valley outreach work that we've done and through the Housing Solutions Group.
So right, over 75% said something had to be done.
Yes. And there were other things in there, too. You know, when we did the survey, I think it was about 45% of the respondents said that things had gotten so bad here that they were considering, they had considered within the last year or so relocating to another city, you know, and that's a huge red flag for everybody. And so there's a lot behind this. And again, thousands of people here, thousands of residents in both counties, throughout both counties are calling for solutions.
The Chamber of Commerce has apparently volunteered to be part of your marketing firm or part of the firm for on behalf of the county to get people to kick the tires.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that, but they have been following the housing issue very closely. They've been following the Our Valley initiative very closely, and they recently named the housing situation as their number one issue for 2019 that they're going to be tackling. The state of Washington is very interested in what we're doing. They've been following this very closely. We have heard that they consider the process we used, you know, going back again to the outreach work we did, the appointment of the Housing Solutions Group, as a potential model for other communities in the state to tackle their housing issues. A week ago, I spoke at the Association of Washington Business Summit down in Longview. And they had me come and talk about housing and the work we've done here. And so the private sector also is very interested in what we're doing.
And one of the reasons you wrote the report, one of the reasons it was necessary, one of the reasons it's resonating, and one of the reasons it suggests tough action is because everyone agrees that none of these problems will solve themselves by themselves.
Yeah, you know, it used to be, and I think if we were dealing with these housing challenges 15 years ago or maybe 20 years ago and had not been dealing with them such a long period of time, I think more and more people would say, well, you know, the market itself will correct these things. And but in our case here, and I think as you're saying elsewhere in the around the country, that's not happening. And when we did our survey work, when Our Valley did our survey work back in 2015-16, one of the questions we asked was, you know, do you think that will happen? Will the market correct this eventually? And 77% of the respondents, again, said that they did not think that would happen, that there needed to be other steps taken to add more housing here.
You said a while ago that you thought that, in a way, in a manner of speaking, Wenatchee had been discovered by people who were moving here for retirement or for another shot at the wonderful life. For some reason, they're coming here from all over the West and other places, too. One thing that we have to add, though, is that we still need an ad campaign to bring the right kind of people here, developers and people who have money to take a gamble on this area to make sure that the new forms of housing are available.
Yeah, you know, we in the report, again, everybody who looks at the report will see there's a white paper within it. And we did that this year, and we looked at why are housing prices in the greater Wenatchee area in particular so much higher than elsewhere in eastern Washington? We're way higher. For instance, in August of 2018, so just 2 or 3 months ago, the median home price in Wenatchee was around $310,000, I believe it was, about $310,000 compared to $250,000 in the Tri-Cities, $210,000 in Yakima, and $190,000 in Spokane. So, again, in this white paper, we took a look at why are home construction costs here so much higher. And I think for a long time there's been the perception that it's all tied to land cost, that land costs are higher here because obviously we, like I mentioned earlier, we have some limiting factors when it comes to where we can build and how much land is publicly owned. And so there's been that perception that that's the main reason why. And what we found through this white paper was, yes, land costs is a factor, but it's not the only factor. Some of the others are the cost of materials here are significantly higher than anywhere else in eastern Washington, about at least 30% higher.
Construction costs,
you know,
wow.
So things like materials like wood and framing and trusses and concrete and all those kind of things. 30% higher than elsewhere in eastern Washington, all these other communities I mentioned. Another big factor is that we have a big shortage of contractors and subcontractors, subcontractors in particular, tradespeople. And so those who are building homes here right now are paying substantially more than they typically would because they can't find folks to fill these jobs. And so there's one of our recommendations is to kind of a two-pronged thing when it comes to trades job. One is to do some kind of a campaign that educates particularly our high school students here that trade jobs are good jobs. For whatever reason, today a lot of students don't view trades jobs as being good jobs when, in fact, you know, frankly, some of them, you know, pay $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year. And so you don't need a 4-year degree for something like that, for a job like that. These are good jobs.
On the one hand, we hear that the construction industry is leading the way for our low employment in the Wenatchee and Douglas County area.
They are, but they need many, many more positions filled.
That and probably means people are coming here to join that industry.
You know, there's been some, but if you look at, like, the new apartment complex going in down by on Riverside Drive in Wenatchee, you know, many of those contractors have been brought in from outside the area, and so they're here temporarily. So you've got that kind of a thing going on. Another thing, besides, you know, the sort of educational campaign, trying to convince the community that these jobs are good jobs and that students should consider going into them, is we also feel like we need to do a better job of getting actual classes and programs in our local schools. So high school, Wenatchee Valley College. We feel that's there's a program down in the Yakima. It's called Perry Tech, I believe, and they've had good success turning out folks who filled trades jobs. So, but anyway, that's another issue we've got here that I think is unique to our area.
Steve Maher is from Our Valley, Our Future. We're talking about the new report that came out just today called Where Will We Live? When we come back, it's all solutions. Steve's got the solutions that his corporation and his company and these committees and these well-thought people have put together. And we'll look at what the solution might be for Where Will We Live?
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:50 on a Friday afternoon. Michael Knight here with Steve Maher, my very special guest, the man from Our Valley, Our Future. Well, Steve, you've written a very exhaustive report, 60 pages that everyone in town should read. They can read it at OurValleyOurFuture.com or .org. It's called Where Will We Live? Now, imagine, Steve, that I'm a high-powered executive with no time to read your report, no matter how accurate it is, and I say to you, can you summarize what I should do? I want to be part of the change of the town. I want to be part of the future. I want to be part of the success story. What should I be doing?
You know, I would say the main thing somebody like that should be doing is talking up this issue and including with other community leaders and elected officials and folks like that and stakeholders and saying, again, you know, much of what's in this report basically describes what we're up against and what our current status is. And I think when you look through that and see that, that's what should be talked about. You know, things like we live in this big geographic bowl and land is running out, and so what are we going to do? And the need for us on both sides of the river and both counties to collaborate and come together and work on this stuff, roll up our sleeves and figure this out, because it's truly about the future of this place. And we're either going to adapt to this these conditions or we're not. And if we don't, there are a lot of folks, including myself, who feel like this place could become, again, a place for just one segment of society.
There is a number of suggestions. There's a number of ways out. There's a number of good plans all within this report. But for each of them, there's a barrier, which means someone has to be inventive, brave, financially risky, take a financial risk, but also calculate to the point where they think they're going to make it. They're going to make it work.
Yeah, I don't think they're all like that, but I think some of them are definitely like that, particularly when it comes to infrastructure. You know, builders and developers can't build homes, can't put homes up if there isn't the infrastructure. And so there are certainly areas, again, we have a limited land base in this area, but there are certainly areas where we can put additional housing, but they need infrastructure. For the past, I'd say, at least 2-3 decades, what's been happening typically, not just here, everywhere, is for those infrastructure costs basically to be passed off to developers and builders. And you know, which is a huge expense, particularly when you're looking at what we're trying to accomplish here. Something the city of Wenatchee is doing, which I think is novel and is a way to deal with this, and it kind of flips things a little bit, is City of Wenatchee, for instance, with its sewer extension out to Sunny Slope, has picked up all the upfront costs for that. And so that's a change in direction, not only for the City of Wenatchee, but for other entities here. That's typically not how they do things.
And so, and bold moves like that are needed.
Definitely. No question about it. You know, we've got to find this housing, and if we don't, housing prices are going to continue to skyrocket, and there's going to be this lack of available housing here for folks.
There's a town in Colorado called Aspen, which was a little old ski town that just a cute town. It was just a mining town. It wasn't anything special except that it was at the right altitude and it had beautiful slopes. But if you work right now in that town, you probably don't live there. You might have to commute in from 20 miles away from some shack because they priced it out so that no one can really live there. You can buy a property as an investment, but nobody lives there anymore because it's so expensive. And it's the same little town it was before. Of course, they didn't have a Tiffany's before, but they do now.
You know, we're already seeing that here in our region with Leavenworth and Chelan. You know, they've, depending on obviously what kind of work you do, and but that's happening already here. And, you know, and I think, again, not speaking for those two communities, but for the region as a whole, I think we need to keep that in mind.
Steve, we can have a part two of this report just about any time. In fact, I probably think we should. But we're out of time right now. Steve Maher, Our Valley, Our Future, thanks so much for doing this. And thanks all the people who contributed their hard work and their expertise and their opinions to this report called Where Will We Live? Read it online on ourvalleyourfuture.org.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
When Dr. William Gotthold